Sheikh Jamaluddin has given us a very enlightening lecture previously on the subject of hadith. And as we said at that time, although he did give us quite a bit, still it was just a drop in the bucket, so to speak, compared to the amount of knowledge that this science contains. So we want to, inshallah, pick up from where he left off. And I hope he can remember where he left off, because he, mashallah, he did give us quite a bit. And we hope that, inshallah, everyone will just focus and open up and listen and learn, inshallah. That's a cousin, yes, sir. Barakallahu fi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ba'd. Of course, this is our last session in this workshop on Ilm al-Hadith, so that means our goal is to answer every single question you have about Hadith today, inshallah, and finish up everything you ever wanted to know, inshallah. But we only have an hour and 10 minutes to go. But last time, I ended up, basically what I was talking about last time is the ways or the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the sunnah and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, those sciences that I talked about and those aspects that I talked about, recording hadith and the science of jahr wa ta'dil and so forth, alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they developed further as needed and so forth. And the goal actually of those sciences and those aspects of the history of hadith was to make sure that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was preserved and was preserved properly, and to sift, and it's something which I'm sure Sheikh Jalaluddin can talk about with respect to Christianity, and to make sure that what happened with respect to Christianity didn't happen with respect to Islam, that you have all this body of literature and you have no idea what is authentic and what isn't authentic. So, alhamdulillah, the goal of this science was to sift the material which has been properly preserved from the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to sift that material from the material that had not been properly preserved, either because people were mistaken or were not very careful in their narration, and also to sift the material that had been, or people had tried to add to the authentic hadith material by means of forging hadith and fabricating hadith and so forth. Well, we didn't get to actually the fabrication of hadith and when that began. But that should have been, had we had time, it should have been something covered in the previous two lectures. Of course, we only had one, so that's part of the reason why it wasn't covered. What I would like to do today, in order to cover some concepts that I would like to have, and have you familiar with, inshallah, so that when you leave here, you will have a basic idea about the science of hadith and what were the criteria that the scholars of hadith used in sifting through this hadith material. So what I would like to do today, inshallah, is basically I'm going to discuss what is meant by an authentic hadith, what the scholars mean when they say that this hadith is sahih or this hadith is hasan, and what are the conditions that they lay down for it. And as I said, and there's many questions that people have about hadith, especially here in the United States where we don't have that much literature available. And so therefore, I hope, inshallah, that if you have any question as we're going along, if it's completely not related or not the time for it, I will just tell you, I will discuss it, or we'll try to discuss it later. But otherwise, I hope, inshallah, that you will feel free to ask these questions that you might have related to hadith literature, for example, that's available in English and so forth. Well, our final goal originally was to show the importance of the science of hadith of the Prophet. Because these hadith, as we would have talked about the importance of the sunnah, I mean, these hadith really are our deen, our religion. Well, I was going to take one example of the hadith of the Prophet to show you how important is this topic, how it relates to our daily lives, how it relates to our deen. And that was, I was going to take an example, and as I said, we probably will not have time for this, but inshallah, at least some of you will walk away with some material that I have here. Not all of you, I don't have that many. But I was going to discuss the hadith about whether or not it's permissible for a wife to spend her own wealth without her husband's permission. And there's about 5 hadith related to it, and I discussed them in detail in this article. And for 2 of the hadith, for example, here's the chains of 2 of the hadith, and we could have gone through this this kind of thing, but as I said, I doubt if we'll have time. Inshallah, we'll figure out some way to distribute these equitably. Abdullah already has his copy, and that's probably staying with him. Maybe we'll auction them off at the end of the... So let's inshallah move to the board and start discussing what scholars of hadith mean by and some of the terms that they use with respect to authentic hadith. Basically, hadith, we want to take all the hadith literature, we can divide it into 2 categories. Hadith which are acceptable or maqbool, and hadith which are rejected. Right now, for the time being, we're just going to worry about hadith which are accepted. Okay. And the scholars of hadith divide that, divide acceptable hadith into 2 categories. Sahih and hasan. I don't know if you need the, my Arabic handwriting is very poor, so I'll do my best to write as little as possible in Arabic, but they are the 2 terms that we're discussing here, Sahih and Hasan. So if you take any report, any kind of narration, for example, if I were to tell you something, if I were to tell you, like an example of something I mentioned last time, the Gettysburg Address of Abraham Lincoln. If I told you that Abraham Lincoln said, on such and such day he gave this speech, this famous speech, 4 score and 7 years ago and so forth, and if this is the kind of narration or kind of report, I want to know, just logically speaking, just thinking about this matter, what are some of the questions that you would like to know? I mean, even we touched upon this briefly last time. What are some of the questions that you would like to know about the source of that report? If I'm telling you that Abraham Lincoln said such and such, and what are some of the questions, for example, that would come to your mind?
I would like to know the credibility of the Islam or who is reporting about it.
Okay.
In terms of where it would fit in. Because by just saying that, I would like to know the source.
Okay, so for example, with respect to Abraham Lincoln and his Gettysburg Address. Suppose I told you that my father told me that Abraham Lincoln said something.
Yes. I'd like to know who you are and that he's like your character.
You don't know me yet?
But I'm saying that you told me that, then I would like to know who you are and your character, but what you're not alive, then go on to the next. Okay, back to you.
Alright, so we take me. I'm just going by what you hope to think. Okay, if it's right or wrong, I'm not worried about it. It's Sunday. You want to know about my character. Okay? And you said, what was it again?
Okay.
You said, yeah, what?
Well, I was using the term Islam, but you know,
okay.
The credibility of narration.
Okay. So I told you that my father told me this.
Okay,
but is that necessary for you to believe something? If I just came from the bookstore right now, the silk, and I told you, oh, they have this magazine sale over there. Good magazine, you look at it and say, oh, this is a good magazine. I tell you, you ask me where you can buy it, I said, send the soap.
Well,
you need 3 or 4 other people to tell you it's in the soap before you're going to believe me?
No.
I'm just asking you, is it necessary to have many people?
Well,
Okay.
Would you say your life is something important?
Yeah.
Okay, suppose I told you there's a fire outside, we better get out right now. You're going to say, well, it needs to be confirmed by 3 or 4 other people. That's an important thing. Let me confirm it by 3 or 4 other people.
No.
Well, I can all the narrative back to Abraham.
Okay, so you want to know all of my sources back to Abraham Lincoln. So we have my father.
Well, first, of course, they're from his father. And his father heard it from U.S. Grant. And narrated from Dave.
Okay, so what do you want to know?
Character.
The character. Okay, do you want to know the character of all these people? We're in a little trouble here, huh? U.S. Grant. What was he famous for?
Yeah,
he was very famous for drinking. That was his famous claim, his claim to fame. He was president of the United States also, but he was more famous for his drinking. Yeah?
Not credible.
Okay. But,
for some, fundamental principles now for accepting narrating.
Okay. So far, what we have is sufficient. Okay, so you don't want to just know their moral character, like we talked about yesterday. You want to know their moral character as well as whether or not they are proficient. Right? Okay, so we want to know their moral character, we want to know that they're proficient. Does that have to be for everyone, or 90% okay? So if someone is unknown, okay, so you want to know every narrator, you want to know their moral character, and you want to know whether or not they're proficient. Okay. And what about checking the sources, like in this particular case? What do you want to know about the chain in particular, besides who the people are?
Probably all the people visited would have to be confirmed that they all met Abraham Lincoln.
So if I told you that my grandfather didn't meet U.S. Grant,
then he would have to be excluded.
You're going to bring him a Muslim condition?
Yeah.
No, it's still necessary. You don't understand him a Muslim condition.
Well, if not Muslim, it's like his condition is still left in the same era. If it's possible that he heard about it, that's Imam Bukhari meeting and living in the same era.
That's talking about Ma'al and Hadith, where the person used the word An and he did not make Tadith, which don't worry about any of that, what does that mean? But if he said Hadathana or something like that?
Hadathana, he met him because of the using of Hadathana.
If he's not alive. So you're talking about a particular type of Hadith, okay? Don't worry about that for the time being. Is there anything else that we need to know?
About
efficient
in memory or anything
else? Okay, that would be proficiency, yes.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? Like, what do you mean by that? throw out a word in Arabic and... Okay, they're saying that not only do we look at this chain by itself and this narration, but we also want to make sure that this chain or this narration is not contradicting something stronger. Okay. So for example, suppose I told you that according to my father, from his grandfather, it was U.S. Grant who came to Gettysburg Address. Okay. And yes, we know from many, many, many sources, unquestionable sources, the amount of sources, unquestionable, that actually was Abraham Lincoln who made that statement, made that speech. So this would be a sign, if it contradicts stronger sources, that would be a sign that there's a defect, there's a problem in the narration. What else? If he throws out another edit problem. Edit problem. I want to make sure there's no edit problems in there. Which is kind of redundant, edit problem. But, okay, let's leave it for that. This is now what the scholars of Hadith, basically, they looked towards the thing, and they came up with similar conditions, the same kind of thing. That if a report comes, how are we going to know that this report is authentic? So for Hadith to be sahih, they said that it has to meet five conditions. The first one is the chain of authority, like what we talked about here, has to be unbroken. Okay, and the chain, as we talked about, we're talking about this, that has to be unbroken. Secondly, they said that every narrator... every narrator must be morally acceptable, or every narrator they call him Adam.
Every narrator has to be
Adam, or a person of righteousness. Now, from Islamic point of view, what does that mean? I hope so. Yes, from Islamic point of view, we don't take knowledge of religion. Hadith, yes. For example, from Kufar.
He doesn't do major sins.
Okay, he does not commit major sins. What else?
He doesn't insist on minor sins.
Okay, what else?
He doesn't kill lies.
Well, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, he is known to be not for.
He does not do things which are considered socially unacceptable. What else? Mature adults. What else? That we're just talking about moral care. Well, also, I mean, it's good that he performs the wajibat.
Well, that's about that.
This is something none of you mentioned. This is also something that they thought of something that. And he performs the wajibat, he performs the obligatory deeds, and he remains away from the muharramat as far as we can see. And also, he's not known to be someone who is doing things that are socially unacceptable. Because if he's doing things that are socially unacceptable, and if he doesn't care enough about his own reputation and his own standing among the people, then we cannot trust that he cares about, and carefully about what he narrates, that he makes sure that he narrates correctly, and he will not be spotted to be a liar or someone who commits mistakes.
Okay,
well, let's say for the time being, just to make you all happy, you should be free of the bid'ah. But that's not necessarily 100% correct, okay? There's some reason for that. There's some reason why that's not 100% correct, but let's not worry about that for the time being. It's an introductory course. You can take that as a graduate course. Okay? Now, what else? Oh, someone said,
aren't you right?
Okay, so every narrator, again, every narrator, not the majority of the narrators and so forth, every narrator must be what they call bovis, or proficient. And we talked about yesterday how they used to test different narrators to make sure that they were in fact proficient. Okay, what else? That's the first one. The other, the first Arabic word that you draw on. Okay. There can be no, what they call shudum. And this is not the modern day meaning of the word shaz. Shudum means it cannot contradict stronger authority. Okay, for example, the example I gave you, that my grandfather said U.S. Grant was the one who gave the Gettysburg Address, and yet we have 150 reports that it was Abraham Lincoln. This is considered shat, or it contradicts stronger authority. Okay? And what's the last one?
Without
illa. There can be no illa. Good thing it's not in English now. And what it means here in this particular case means a hidden damaging defect.
Huh?
Oh, you have to explain these two? I can give you an example. Who's that?
Because
there's some people who don't know what to do. They want to think more. If no to lose means it cannot contradict stronger sources. Let me give an example. But make sure you get it down correctly. The chain has to be unbroken. Every narrator has to be honest. Every narrator has to be bullet. There can be no shudud and there can be no edit. And whatever the Muslims see as bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers it bad. Okay. This is a statement of the Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Now, this statement is confirmed from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So in other words, we have our narrators going back to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and this narration meets these conditions. So we say, yes, this is an authentic statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Now, some people, they made a mistake while narrating this statement from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and by mistake, instead of stopping at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud when they gave their chain from PCC, instead of stopping as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they made the mistake of saying, for example, an Rasulullah or from the Prophet. Okay? So, by the way, I don't know how much terminology you'd like to get in such short time, but if something is a narration that goes back to a Sahabi, to a companion Prophet, and does not go beyond that, it is a statement or an action of a Sahabi, of a companion, it's called Mokul. So, for example, in this case, the narration is Mokul. This is a narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But someone, by mistake, narrated it as a statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when something is narrated or traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is called Marfu'. Writing English, Arabic and English doesn't make much sense to me. So now in this particular case, if you just took this narration of this mistake, going all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad, if you study this narration by itself, you find that A says that it comes from B, from C to D, so it goes back to the Prophet Muhammad. Looking at that new narration, I'm telling you it's a mistake, but just looking at that one new narration, would you say that it meets the first three conditions? And how do you know it meets the first three conditions? First three.
We don't know yet.
I can tell you about the fourth one.
cannot tell you about the fourth one. But the first three conditions, does it meet the first three conditions? How do you know that? You know that because I told you that we have a Sahih chain back to Sunan Muslim. So someone makes a mistake and narrates it back to the Prophet, back to the Prophet. So now how are we going to spot that?
By experience?
I mean, nobody can know.
I'm delighted you didn't say Kishma.
No, it's not the knowledge of Allah is not something that you can see from the Isnad at all.
Not from what Isnad?
Well, if there's another Isnad that's a Mawquf, and it's been known or been like all the scholars know it's Mawquf, and this trick Isnad came and said, it's Mawquf, we cannot, there's an Illa which is not narrated to Rasulullah.
So what we have to do, and by the way, the science of Illa, or the science of spotting these kinds of defects, is considered the most difficult science of Hadith. And very few scholars, only the leading scholars, were really experts in this field, like al-Bukhari and his Sheikh Ali ibn al-Madini and others similar to them. So what we have to do, and what they used to do, is you take now this narration and you look to see how everybody else narrated the same thing. So you look for change coming back from Abdullah bin Mas'ud. You look for change coming from Abdullah bin Mas'ud through this student. You look for change coming from Abdullah bin Mas'ud to this student, all the way back to you yourself, until you can trace and see what in fact is the situation. And you will be able to spot where the mistake came from. That this person made a mistake and narrated all the way back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when in fact it should stop at Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Well, in fact, one of the scholars of Hadith, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure it was Ibn Ma'in, Yahya Ibn Ma'in. One time he sat with a student of a scholar of Kufa named Hamad Ibn Salama. And he said, I have the books of Hamad Ibn Salama, I want to read them to you. And he's one of the students of Hamad Ibn Salama. He said, I have these books, the hadith of Hamad, I want to read them to you. So that student asked him, have you read them to any of the other students of Hamad bin Salama? He said, yes, I read them to 17 of his students. Or 16. You can see that I am not exactly involved, but anyway, we're not passing our hadith now. They've been collected. But he said, he said, I read it to 17 other students. So he asked him, why do you want to read to me now? He said, because Hamad bin Salama used to make some mistakes, and I want to distinguish between the mistakes of Hamad bin Salama and the mistakes of his students. So in other words, there's some hadith that he studied and collected from other scholars other than Hamad bin Salama. And he knows that some narrations are coming from Hamad bin Salama which are wrong. So he reads all of his hadith to 18 of Hamad bin Salama's students who were together at the same reading, as I told you last time, many times he needs to mark. You know, who was present at that reading, when did he make this reading to the chef, and who else was present, and so forth. So he takes all 18 of those students, if they all agree on the same mistake, then he knows that the source of that mistake was Hamad bin Salama. But if he finds that one of them is narrating it incorrectly, and the others are narrating it correctly or the same way, he knows that that mistake is not from Hamad bin Salama, but it's from that particular student. Okay. And that kind of thing they used to do, in order to spot, to make sure that there's no hidden defect that has been that has been passed on. So these are the five conditions for a hadith to be considered sahih. Okay. Now, with respect to hadith, by the way, when we talk about the study of this net, well, we're talking about the study of this now, we're talking about particular types of hadith, and these are the kinds of hadith which are not hadith which are not mutawatir. You can divide hadith into two categories. Uh, متواتر الآحاد. If a hadith, if the narration is mutawatir, it is not, it's not subject to this kind of test. When you say the hadith is mutawatir, it means that it has been narrated by so many people, and each generation, each link, that there's no question that they, and it is not possible that they all agreed upon a fabrication, because maybe they all come from different places and so forth, and it's not possible that they all made the same mistake. So if you get a narration like that, for example, the Quran as a whole is narrated like that. So if you get narrations of that nature, then you don't have to study this man, because you have so many people narrating it. It is not a subject of what we're talking about over here. They were talking about just what they call a hadith. If a hadith meets these five conditions by itself, it is called sahih, and in particular, it is called the sahih lidhatihi. Sahih lidhatihi means on its own merit, this particular hadith has met these five conditions. Now, by the way, and this is an important point to keep in mind, is that the first three conditions, that the chain is unbroken, that every narrator is adil, and every narrator is dhabit, these three conditions are not that difficult, at least for muhaddithin, these three conditions are not that difficult to determine. But the last two are very difficult. Now some writers on hadith, some scholars of hadith, they do not necessarily have the time or the ability to check the last two conditions. So they will study just the first three conditions. And when they study the first three conditions and they say that they see that these conditions are met, they'll say that the isnad is sahih. They'll say that the isnad is sahih. Now there's a big difference between saying the isnad is sahih and between saying the hadith is sahih. And unfortunately when people nowadays, when many writers, especially in the Arabic literature, because English literature we haven't reached this point, but especially in the Arabic literature, sometimes people go to some of the scholars of hadith and they say that they see that this hadith, the scholar said, has the isnad is sahih, and they understand that to mean that the hadith is sahih. This is not correct. It is not, one does not necessarily imply, or the first one does not necessarily imply the second one. If a scholar only had the ability or the time or whatever to check the first three, then he would say that the isnad is sahih. But that does not mean that the hadith is sahih until you check and make sure that none of the last two conditions are invalid. So you must distinguish between a scholar of hadith saying that the isnad is sahih and between him saying that the hadith is sahih. Now there's some exceptions that some scholarship for some of the great scholars of hadith. Let's say, for example, historically, like Ibn Hajar. If Ibn Hajar says that the isnad is sahih, people take it for granted that he means also that the hadith is sahih. But I don't know if you can always say that. Okay. You have to be careful about that. Okay. So for those of you especially who have access to some of the Arabic literature on hadith and so forth, you have to keep in mind this distinction. If a scholar of hadith says the isnad is sahih, and when he says the hadith is sahih. One, from the first one, you cannot automatically assume or conclude the second one. Right. So this is the first category of acceptable hadith, and it's called sahih lidhatihi. Okay. Another kind of acceptable hadith, as we said, is hasan. Now, going back to our discussion of reports in general, of narrations in general, if you look at these five conditions, are there any conditions here that you can perhaps tolerate their violation? Not quite, but make a little bit
relax a little bit on this. For example, if the chain is broken, can you say, okay, the chain is broken, but that's okay. We'll make it, we'll call it hasan instead of sahih, we'll still accept it. Why? The missing link? We don't believe in Darwin over here. if you have a chain which is broken, then that means someone is missing, and you cannot make any assumption about whether or not that person is adl or bobs in general. So you will not be willing to make any compromise when it comes to the first condition, right? Say, what if you find that there's a defect in it? A damaging defect. You say, well, that's okay. We all have stuff in our lives that's a little bit defective. We don't throw it away as soon as we see some defect. Can you compromise on this one? Did you have a question, bro? I'm sorry, I don't know your name, otherwise I would. Did you have a question?
When
you say there's anything
there,
I think maybe
I'm a little ahead on the
tongue.
Okay.
You know,
I was mentioning
dice,
so I'm not, I don't think
he's going to. Okay, so. So what about every area being adjunct? Suppose he just slides a little bit. Or he just drinks a little bit. By the way, what's one of the basic principles here when we say that someone is adjunct? It's not just simply that we want to make sure that he's a righteous person, but we want to make sure that he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He demonstrates the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will not be willing to fabricate and to make up or distort the hadith of Prophet. It's not just simply a condition that, oh well, it sounds good, doesn't it? No, and we want to make sure that these people, so that means even if someone is not a liar, but he's known to commit other sins, other major sins, that's enough for us to reject. And a kafir automatically would be rejected. Right? Why?
Has no
And basically there's nothing to keep him from lying, especially lying about the Prophet lying in hadith. There's no taqwa, sometimes conflict of interest. And so in other words, you should not take hadith from John F. Zito's books about Islam, for example. This should not be considered a source of hadith or Islamic literature. Unfortunately, we even have conferences, Muslim conferences, in which they invite non-Muslims to come to speak to Muslims about Islam and supposedly educate them about Islam. And from hadith point of view, unbelievable. Not just no way, it's unbelievable. That's why all the famous books of hadith, they were collected by Muslims, not by Hindus and Christians and so on. Now what about this condition of shad or no shadud? Can you relax that? Doesn't make much sense to relax it. Do you have any left? What about number three? You can relax that? Why are you saying that?
Memory.
Proficiency as a whole, not just memory, but proficiency also narrating properly. He's not lax when narrating. His writing is good if he's narrating from that writing and so forth. You can let this one slide. Yeah, because here we're talking about people in the world. And we have people, for example, that rarely make mistakes. Okay? Rarely make mistakes. And the mistakes that they make are very minor. I mean, you wouldn't notice them even. Then we have other people. How many of you are students? How many of you were students in your life? Have you ever been in a class where you make one mistake and the teacher fails you? Well, so you've had a rough life, I can tell. So you have some narrated hadith, for example, that were experts who rarely made mistakes. You're going to put them in a separate category from those who made
a few more mistakes. Okay. And you're going to distinguish between their hadith. You're going to call one category, you're going to call their hadith sahih, and the other one, hasan. Should I use your terminology, Waleed, or less? Brother Waleed, mashallah, has compiled a good book of, excellent book of dhikr. I think it's available here in the souk. We'll make a few advertisements for it. I think sold somewhere in the souk. A book of dhikr, what's the exact name? Authentic Supplications of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, in the hadith, I mean, in that book, he uses lots of hadith, so he has to deal with these terms. And hasan, he uses hasan there, and his translation that he came up with is comely, meaning good. Okay. These are difficult terms to translate into English, especially when you're talking about what's the difference between sahih and hasan. So inshallah, if you get this book, you know that when you read comely, he's talking about hasan, he's talking about it meets these five conditions, except for it meets number three not as well as sahih hadith meets. Now suppose we have a hadith, which is a hasan hadith. If it meets these five conditions according to our new condition number three, if it meets it by itself, we call it hasan lidhatihi. Okay, the same term we used before, meaning hasan on its own merit. Okay, just by its own change, it is considered hasan. Now, the only reason that we call it hasan instead of sahih is what? Okay, there's some... Okay, we have some fear about someone possibly making a slight mistake. And by the way, if someone makes gross mistakes, okay, we don't say that his hadith are hasan. Gross mistakes is someone who is a weak narrator. So we have some fear that someone may have made a slight mistake, so we call his hadith hasan instead of sahih. Now, suppose we have the same hadith, there is through two chains, okay? And because of this person here, well, this probably is not the best way to show it. Take a more realistic example. Going back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have, for example, different narrators. And then after this chain, we have two narrators. Okay? And everyone up here is a sahih quality. We're taking a simple example. It doesn't have to be of this nature, but just to make it very clear. Everyone up here is a sahih quality, but this person right here is a hasan quality.